Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh. On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
All right, everybody. I promised it to you. And now I'm going to bring it to you. This is some college fantasy football knowledge. Now, the Welsh and I have talked a little bit about college fantasy football because, as you heard, I do two college fantasy football podcasts. I've had the one on InThisLeague.com going for about 3 seasons now, and I just fired one up on Fantrax with my friend John Lobb. You know him as the Gridiron Skull 91 on Twitter. He writes for FootballDiehards.com, and he has for a long time, and he works for Fantrax with me as well. John, how is it going with you, my friend?
Oh, it's a beautiful day in the Northeast, and you know what? I've played every major fantasy season-long league from baseball, football, hockey, basketball, and by far, college fantasy football is my second favorite of the leagues. I've been playing for 10 years. It's a must-play if you love sports, and college football is just an amazing game.
So you said second, though. Is NFL still your favorite?
Yeah, NFL's still the favorite, but, you know, there's an advantage to college that I like. It reminds me of the 90s in the NFL fantasy football industry. You can still outwork your competition, and your research still matters. While it matters in the NFL, people can just go and buy a cheat sheet 10 minutes before their draft, and they can get all of that research compact into a ranking, and they could win their league. In college fantasy football, you still got to grind. You got to look at the waiver wire. You got to look at the, you know, 50 box scores every weekend. And I just like it that it's a little bit less popular. And I just love college football because there's so many different styles of offense to enjoy. And the conferences are so different.
Yeah, it is very, very different because, like you said, you know, with some added research, you can really still, you know, like you said, out research your opponents for the most part. And it's going to get bigger. And the reason I say that is because, look, it's been on Fantrax forever. And Fantrax to me is the number one best site. I mean, I know, you know,
I work for them, but before I worked for them, I was still a proponent of Fantrax. But Yahoo opened it up, and, you know, just facing simple facts here, Yahoo has more players than any other service, I think. Maybe ESPN has more. I'm not 100% sure, but it's ESPN and Yahoo. CBS is a far third, and Fantrax is probably, actually, to be honest, Fantrax could have moved ahead of CBS a while ago, for all I know. But Yahoo is a big platform, and they have brought it to their platform now. Of course, like everything else with Yahoo, they put one toe in instead of jumping in head first, and you can only do the Power Five schools now. Fantrax, and you can still do every single school, and you can mix it up. John, you just told me you were in a, what was it, Pac-12 and MAC? That's it?
Yeah, I got an awesome opportunity. I know so many great friends in the college fantasy football Twitterverse, and for the second year in a row, they've cut the conference, the league, up into five divisions of two conferences each. So you're assigned to a group of five conference and a Power Five conference. So I'm competing in the Pac-12 and the MAC. Last year I did the American Athletic Conference and the ACC. It's super challenging. I love it because of the competition and the fanatics who are in the league. It is not my preferred way to play, but it really does. You become so deep because you have 20-man rosters, 10 teams, and I believe there are only 22 teams to pick players from. So it's a unique challenge, and I like that, and it really makes me dig deeper into those teams that I normally would not necessarily know the fifth receiver on Arizona State if you're in a, you know, full FBS league. And, you know, and you were just mentioning, I started playing college fantasy football 10 years ago on CBS Sportsline. They closed their platform, and I moved over to Fantrax. And I was on Fantrax before I ever started doing a podcast or any writing for them. And I love their site. And you just mentioned it. College fantasy football, to me, the ability to delve into every team is so important. It has made me a better prospect scout when we do the draft, and it has made me a better NFL fantasy player. So you just were mentioning Yahoo, what they can't do. Right now, if you play on Yahoo, you cannot own Justin Hansen of Arkansas State. You cannot own Caleb Evans of Louisiana Monroe. You can't have Devin Singletary of Florida Atlantic, Jawan Washington, San Diego State, and your favorite and one of mine, Anthony Johnson of the Buffalo Bulls. Look it, college fantasy football is about learning all of those conferences, all of those players. And Yahoo, you said it great, Scott. They dipped their toe in, but they did not give you the full package.
Right, right. So let me ask you a couple other questions here. Like, what is the biggest difference between playing in an NFL league and playing in a college league? What would you say, outside of, you know, you can outwork your opponents and everything, I guess, heading into the draft, right? What is the main difference? Because we basically have a draft strategy in the NFL, and a lot of people know it. Running backs are thin, so you got to have them. Wide receivers are deep. You can kind of wait on them. If you're in a regular 12-man, quarterbacks are fairly deep. You can wait on quarterbacks, and tight ends, kickers, and defenses are usually, you know, there's different ways to draft them. But in general, I would say most teams take them pretty far at the end of your draft. So going into college fantasy football, what are the main differences drafting for them?
The number one to me is the value of the running quarterback. Now, while we have Cam Newton in the NFL, in general, you're not going to get two quarterbacks who total over 500 yards rushing in a season. Maybe we had Cam Newton and Russell Wilson do it, but that is not the norm. In college fantasy football, there are going to probably be three quarterbacks who gain over 1,000 yards rushing. I mean, there could be up to six. So the value of the running quarterback is just so astronomical in college fantasy football. Now, obviously, there is some risk because when you are running the football as often as you do, you are probably going to expose yourself to more hits. However, having played this for a decade, the great runners like Lamar Jackson, Cam Newton, Tim Tebow, in general, they avoid the major hits and they tend to play out the entire season. It's more the running quarterbacks that I'm worried about at Navy and Georgia Tech, where they don't necessarily have the running game or the wide receivers around them, and they do a lot more running on a design play, and they get exposed more often, where the Lamar Jacksons and Tim Tebows, they will take off out of the pocket, so they don't necessarily get exposed to those linebacker hits or strong safeties. It's the guys at Navy and Georgia Tech that I get a little bit more worried about the accumulation of those hits. Then the other thing is the superstar running back. College fantasy football usually is played over 12 weeks. Therefore, you're probably going to have a 11 or 10 week regular season, and your playoffs will be the last 2 weeks of the year. Now, that stud running back, the Mark Ingram when he won the Heisman, the Melvin Gordon when he was just tremendous at Wisconsin, and last year, Devin Singletary and Bryce Love. When you can get the running back who gets over 2,000 yards rushing or close. And one of the things that you will find is there are usually one or two running backs who get near 20 touchdowns or exceed that number. So if you can acquire one of those superstar running backs, and when I had Melvin Gordon his last year at Wisconsin, he won so many weekly matchups for me, and I was able to bring home a title. So those valuable stud running backs who will approach 2,000 yards rushing are worth so much in college fantasy football. You don't get that very often in the NFL. You might get that 1,500 to 1,700 yard rusher, but you don't get the 2,000 yard runner with 20 touchdowns. So you cannot bypass that big time runner when they are on the board in the first round.
I tell you what, and I agree with you on the running back front, but I will say this. To me, the biggest difference between college fantasy and NFL fantasy is that you can go and dig up a wide receiver in the NFL in the last round, and he could wind up being really good. You can take, you know, DeSean Jackson is going off close to the end of drafts. Chris Godwin, another Bucks guy, is going off at the end of drafts. You know, there's always going to be some random Patriots wide receiver that winds up being really good every single season. You know, you can find those guys either on the wire or at the end of your draft. In college, because wide receiver is most connected to quarterback, and these quarterbacks are so young, and a lot of them are, you know, freshmen, sophomore, they're inexperienced. They build a rapport with one guy. Well, the guy who's the most talented isn't always that guy, and maybe it takes a season or two for him to really find his niche and go. So for me, when you're drafting wide receivers in college, it is the guys that have already done it before. And, you know, if you guys want to take a listen to our podcast, if this is something you're thinking about diving into, we talked about this on one of our most recent podcasts about wide receivers, where it's you just don't know, you know, you don't know who's going to wind up being the good guy. We've had battles like that at North Texas. John and I are staunchly different. I like Jalen Guyton. He likes Michael Lawrence. We have guys at Nevada like Brandon O'Leary Orange and McLean Mannix. You know, we have no idea who's going to be the guy at Washington State with a new quarterback between Tay Martin and Kyle Sweet. So drafting wide receivers is just much more difficult to me. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you can make a good argument. Now, I love your strategy if you're on the turn at the end of the first round. I see it's a very wise and astute decision to take an Anthony Johnson, and let's say you could get David Sills. If you could acquire those two high-end wide receivers, I agree with that, because then you have such advantage because you have two veterans. If they stay healthy, they should produce prodigious points at the wide receiver position. But and then you're going to have to go and grab some running backs. But I do like that, Scott, because I think there's a better floor with the high-end wide receivers with obviously an immense ceiling. So you can do that, but I would probably not do it if I was in the first six picks of the first round.
So we talked about what's fun. You know, you get to see the you get to see the guys before they're in the pros, especially if you're a pro football guy, and most people listening to this usually are football guys. So you get to see those guys ahead of time. Now, look, some guys just aren't going to translate. Khalil Tate is the number one overall pick in our game this year at College Fantasy Football. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that he'll translate to the NFL. I don't know. I would, if I had to guess, I'd say probably not, because he's more of a runner than he is a passer. You know, the guys like Quentin Flowers. You know, Quentin Flowers, great for our game, not so great in the NFL. Things.
I think that's a great – yes. I think that is a great and astute draft analysis. That is a great comp.
So, John, let me ask you this. What are the mistakes that people will make – in their first year in college fantasy, and why don't we let them know so they can not make those mistakes?
The biggest mistake that I made when I first started playing was I gravitated too quickly to the Power Five conferences and those players on those teams. So as an example, I believe it, let me take Julio Jones. In one of the first two or three years, Julio Jones was available at Alabama. Everyone loved the talent, and I thought I was getting a bargain in the second or third round when I would take Julio Jones. But then I would see players, and I'll just use an example of like Justin Hardy at East Carolina. He would be outperforming Julio Jones in college fantasy football. And you see the same thing at the running back position. No Sean Moreno, who I liked a ton, and I drafted him in college fantasy football, and he was good. He was a good back, but I was drafting him like in the first, second round. But then someone like LeSean McCoy or Jordan Todman, LeSean McCoy playing at Pittsburgh and Jordan Todman playing at UConn, they would be available in rounds five or round six, and they would actually outperform No. Sean Moreno. So what you really have to do is you need to find some rankings online that you can trust. And when someone's saying to you that Cody Thompson at Toledo is a much better asset and fantasy players than a T. Higgins at Clemson, while I like T. Higgins, I'm going to take Thompson at Toledo because the experts who are ranking him and people who played the college fantasy football game know that Toledo's going to put the ball in the air, that physically dominant wide receivers at the group of five conferences, they're going to outperform T. Higgins, who faces much more difficult defensive backs on a weekly basis. Now, he'll have good games and he'll produce, but those other wide receivers outside of the Power Five are prodigious, and you need to accept that there are great players outside of the Power Five.
I love that. I mean, not only did you get so much information from John in such a short time, but if you listen to on-campus fantasy, college fantasy football, you know that John just promoted his UConn Huskies and took a shot at Justin Heisey's Clemson Tigers. And Justin is a he's our co-host, and he's actually going to be on in this next segment. But, John, I just want to thank you so much for coming on and talking some college fantasy football. And remember, guys, at Gridiron Skull 91, you can find him on CFF on campus on Fan Tracks with me. We have two shows this week, and you can find him writing all over the place and on the Twitter machine, and he's great to interact with. Thanks, John, so much for stopping by and talking to some CFF.
Oh, you're welcome, my teammate. And look, I'm very lucky to work with you on the CFF on campus, and anytime to help you promote the college fantasy football game. It's been my pleasure.
We'll be right back after this break. Stick around.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your Daily Roto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
You can't believe what fell. All your dreams just pops down the drain. Let's play some
In This League.
Welcome back, everybody. We're going to talk some more college fantasy football. But did you know, if you enjoy playing daily fantasy sports but are sick of dealing with professionals, using algorithms to select hundreds of lineups and entries, try the Props Builder tool at mybookie.ag. Forget having to create multiple lineups, ditch the hassle of dealing with late scratches, and avoid experts winning 90% of the money. Invest in the players that you want without salary caps. And if you sign up for a new account using the promo code FNTSY, you can elect an option to receive a 50% deposit bonus with a rollover requirement. No more dealing with late lineup scratches, no experts to compete against, just you and the prop that you choose. Go to mybookie.ag, enter promo code FNTSY upon signup, and choose your matchups using the Props Builder tool. That's mybookie.ag, promo code FNTSY. And we just had John Lobb on, and now it is, it's age before beauty, of course. So now we have on my other co-host at CFF on campus on Fantrax. It is Justin Heise. You can find his writing at Fantrax.com, and you can find him on our show and on the Twitter machine at Justin Heise. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing all right, Scott. How are you?
I'm doing great. I do want to let you know that John not only promoted UConn in his segment, but took a shot at Clemson a little bit. So... God, I can't remember the wide receiver he was talking about, but he was promoting somebody over T. Higgins, and I had to step in and say, John, I won't hear this, okay? I will not let you talk down about my friend's team at T. Higgins. So what do you think about John taking a shot behind your back? Can you believe it?
I can't believe it. I don't know how a UConn guy comes at a Clemson guy like that, but that's something I'll have to take up with him next time we record.
Oh, I can't wait for that. And I'm definitely not stirring the pot at all. He definitely said all that.
Definitely
stuff.
Not.
So John and I talked a little bit about, you know, how he got into college fantasy football. And we talked a little bit of draft strategy and stuff. I want to get into some players specifically with you. But how did you get into college fantasy football? Because you're a younger guy. Now, us old farts, we'll just be like, I need more football. I need more games. And it'll eventually, you know, it's like any addict. It'll go into another sport. We're going into college fantasy football. But you're a younger guy, and you may have even started with college fantasy football. How did you get into it?
The first year I played college fantasy football, I was just kind of looking around because I was like somewhat interested in the NFL, but I was real big into college football. And I was like, you know what? It'd be really cool if like college fantasy was a thing. So I went online, got started through CBS. And then the second season we went and moved the league over to Fantrax.com. I've been over there ever since. I remember the first draft pick that I took was Matt Barkley out of Southern Cal. The year he was trash and not the year he was good.
I feel like everybody winds up making that mistake the first year. And John actually brought that up when I asked him. I said, what do new guys make the mistake of? And he was talking about taking guys from the Power Five. And that kind of led him into the I can't remember who was. It might have been Anthony Johnson. It was a guy from a G5 school over a Power 5 school, and that's kind of what the T. Higgins stuff was about.
Yeah.
But which is understandable, of course. But I like that. And I think it's also a product of being from, that neck of the woods. You know, your family is all Clemson guys, and Clemson has been real good for a real long time. So I think being able to draft those guys had to have been part of it too, right?
Oh, yeah. Like, a lot of people that I picked, I was just familiar with. So I was basically out of the ACC. At the time, it would have been the Big East and out of the SEC as well. While my dad, who played with me the first year that we did it, was far more informed on other places. So I was drafting Barkley and Landry Jones. He was drafting Colin Klein out of Kansas State that year. So I definitely learned as the season went on. I ended up picking up Manziel and Nick Florence out of A&M and Baylor. So it ended up working out in my favor, and I won it the first year.
Man, that's pretty good. I mean, and that's beginner's luck. And I tell you what, whenever you win something year one, you know, you kind of think you're an expert at it and want to keep building up at it. And by the way, you have become an expert at it. People listen to your opinion. So let's talk about some specific players. And because John and I kind of talked about strategy, so we told the people, because this is a newer audience to college fantasy football, that you know, you want your running quarterbacks in college fantasy. There are some quarterbacks that you can take late. Running back is fairly deep, and wide receiver is really tough. So let's start out with quarterbacks. And Khalil Tate is easily the number one player in our game because he rushed for 1,300 yards last season. Not most running backs are going to get 1,300 yards, but he rushed for 1,300 yards. He has the passing stats as well. Who are some other quarterbacks that you have been interested in taking, or maybe you've already taken either in mocks or in your actual drafts?
Okay, so outside of Khalil Tate, I've been looking at Nathan Rourke. I do know that some repeatability might fall in the way of that with him having like 20 rushing touchdowns last season.
And he's from Ohio, right?
Yeah. Not Ohio State.
Not Ohio State. Can't get him if you're in Yahoo. So... Not a guy that you can get in Yahoo, because Yahoo is only Power 5. So who else outside of Nathan Rourke?
Outside of Nathan Rourke, I've mentioned on the on campus a couple times a JUCO transfer named Kai Loxley, who went to UTEP. He finished with 20 passing touchdowns, 20 rushing touchdowns last year for Iowa Western. You can see brief glimpses of him in the first episode of this season of Last Chance U, back when he was still the backup quarterback at Iowa Western. You can see him toss one in and run one in as they were throttling the guys at Independence to begin the year off. Another guy that I've kind of caught interest in here recently is Armani Rogers from UNLV.
Oh, this is the first time hearing about it. So,
yeah, Armani Rogers was a freshman last season. He took off for 780 rushing yards with 8 touchdowns at Nevada, Las Vegas. His passing stats weren't the best because he had 6 passing touchdowns with 5 interceptions. But the fact that the kid went for 780 last season as a freshman in 10 games is pretty solid. It's only looking like he's going to go up from here. So that one's a really interesting later round waiver wire kind of guy.
And my favorite part about that is you just didn't mention Power 5 guys. So I like that. That's really good. How about running backs? John mentioned Devin Singletary, of course, with the 30 rushing touchdowns last season. He talked a little bit about Bryce Love as a 2,000-yard guy from last season as well. Who are the first-round running backs outside of those two? And then who else have you been taking kind of at some value spots?
All right, so the other first-round running backs, guys, I have Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin is undoubtedly a first-round running back. An argument can be made for Myles Gaskin as well, considering he's had 1,300 yards every season that he's played for Washington, which if you're looking for consistency, I don't know that there is a more consistent running back than Myles Gaskin. Outside of him, an argument can be made for A.J. Dillon. I think Juwan Washington belongs in that conversation too, just because of the ceiling that the kid has.
He's replacing Rashad Penny. For those of you that play NFL fantasy, Juwan Washington is the guy taking over for Rashad Penny at San Diego State.
Yeah. And those guys, you know, over the past couple seasons, you had Penny, you had Donnell Pumphrey, you had Adam Wema before that. So San Diego's got their product in the rushing game, and Juwan Washington appears to be the next guy up. So that's another guy that could go up there. As far as some value picks, I've spoken very highly about Rodney Smith at Minnesota. With Shannon Brooks out for the season, he is the sole back in the Minnesota backfield, and PJ Fleck loves to run the ball. We've seen a lot of Minnesota guys go on to be really successful in the NFL, and Rodney Smith, being a senior, is looking to make his name. Lexington Thomas out of Nevada, Las Vegas, was a surprise last season, going for over 1,000 yards, was pretty highly undrafted going into last season.
You're
and
gonna
even
be
though,
a UNLV offense then, aren't you?
It's a heavy rushing offense.
I like that.
But he's still going fairly low for a guy that kind of stood out last season. My personal deep sleeper favorite this year is Trayvon McMillan from Colorado. He had transferred over from Virginia Tech over to Colorado. You know, they lose Philip Lindsay with him graduating, and McMillan's a really good all-purpose back, just coming in and taking that step forward. It looks like he's already taken over that top dog spot there. So I'm really interested to see what he's got for us this season.
Now, you haven't talked about any Texas players yet. I'm very surprised. By the way, did you see, and I know you'll be familiar with this guy, did you see Chris Warren run over the guy, Jared Davis, the other day in practice for the Raiders?
I did not see that.
He looked like Marshawn Lynch. So, I mean, he just put Jared Davis right on his ass. So, looking forward. I mean, but that's the best Texas highlight I've had the whole offseason. That dude plays for the Raiders now. Wide receivers, you do have a chance to bring up a Texas player here. So, I'll let you talk about how great Colin Johnson is and why everyone should draft him.
All right. First off, people should draft Colin Johnson because Sam Ehlinger is taking first-team reps.
Yes.
Going into the season, I like Colin Johnson a whole lot better when Sam Ehlinger is taking the first team snaps because he throws in the ball. His reception numbers are far higher when Ehlinger is in the game than when he is not in the game, when Bouchel is at the helm.
You will be invited back to the radio, just so you know.
Praise God.
Who else at wide receiver do you like?
A guy that I'm kind of warming up on is Ryan Davis from Auburn. I wasn't necessarily the highest believer in Ryan Davis until I kind of looked into his numbers. You know, he had 84 receptions last season, under 1,000 yards, but 84 receptions is pretty hard to ignore. His touchdown numbers are certainly going to go up, especially since Kerryon Johnson has gone on to the NFL. And Jared Stidham's going to get more involved in the red zone game, I believe. You know, I believe I pronounced his last name correctly.
It's Stidham. I think you got it. Yeah.
Yeah.
This time.
Another guy I like is Kelvin Harmon from NC State. He got like 1,000 yards last season, didn't have many touchdowns just because you had Nyheim Hines and Jalen Samuels in the backfield taking them away anytime they got into the red zone. But Kelvin Harmon's going to get more touches this season with those guys gone. They only got Gillespie as the main figurehead in the backfield. So they're definitely going to need to rely more on their receivers this season than their running backs a year ago.
Now, I asked John John, I guess, mentioned that that he likes to watch college football because of the translation into the NFL. And he did say, well, college fantasy football is my second favorite fantasy sport behind NFL football. I think that you're actually probably flipped on that. You're probably more of a college guy than you are an NFL guy, right?
Yeah, I actually watch NFL because I like seeing the guys that I had in college play in the NFL. Like the other week, I was watching some preseason, and Trey White from Arizona State made an appearance. And I was like, hey, I owned that dude for like 3 weeks. He was really good in that time stretch. So,
right.
I love watching the draft because I love seeing where my guys ended up going on to so I can watch them in the future.
All right, so Clemson fan, break it down for us. How far does Clemson go this year? And is this, they beat Bama before. We've seen it, and it was impressive, and I loved it. Do you think that they have a shot to make the playoff again and beat a Bama team?
So I do think that they're going to make the playoff again. I really didn't think that they were going to do it last season, which last season was the rebuild year. Their defensive line is just the best in college football this season. that could be just me tooting my own horn, but given the fact that those guys made it to the Sports Illustrated cover, I think they're pretty darn good. Kelly Bryant has gotten better every year that he's been in Clemson. Like, a lot of people haven't been able to see that just because he's been behind Deshaun Watson, but his arm has gradually gotten better. He could barely throw a pass when he first got to Clemson. Really good athlete. Couldn't really throw all that well when he first got to Clemson, but he does have his moments where he has some poor judgment, but he seems to be coming into his own. And then Trevor Lawrence is behind him if something fails. Trevor's a really, really good player, is considered a generational player, just like Justin Fields at Georgia. So I do think Clemson makes it back to the playoff. They need some guys to stay healthy if they were going to beat Alabama this season. Like guys like T. Higgins, they need a big body to battle those big corners out. I don't think they had an aggressive enough big body last season because T got hurt really early on in the national championship game.
Your boy Deion Cain's making some noise in NFL camp right now.
Yeah, that's actually really, really surprising to me. sometimes you can just tell with a guy's effort when he's on the field. I didn't think that Deion put up a ton of effort going after the ball. He's killer fast, really, really fast. If I had to compare him to former Clemson players, I'd say T is more Mike Williams-esque and Deion is more Martavis Bryant-esque. And as far as field play, I'm not talking about all the weed charges.
Right, or the maybe even the playbook stuff that Martavis Bryant has.
Lack of ability to read a playbook.
right, exactly. So, okay, so Clemson, pretty good shot this year. Now, if I put a gun to your head, who wins a national championship? And who is the Heisman winner this season?
If I had to pick a national champion, I'm just going to go with Alabama because as much as I'd hate to see that happen again, I think that is a really good, really good team. They got a lot of young guys on offense, especially at quarterback. People can say what they want about this quote unquote competition. It's not, it's Tua's job. That's why they really haven't talked to Hurts with it. About it this whole offseason. I think he's pretty well gone, which, by the way, if he transfers to North Carolina next year, I'm buying up some stock in Jalen Hurts going forward. I think he can really excel in that offense. But I think Alabama gets it too. It's just so good. And that defense is just going to be right back where it was a year ago. As far as a Heisman winner, I'm either looking at Khalil Tate or Bryce Love. I think that Khalil Tate is a good enough player to win it. I just don't think they're going to get the wins. Right. And I think that Bryce Love is going to look for like 1700 to 1800 yards once again this season, just because Stanford has not figured out a quarterback solution.
Well, thanks for coming by and talking some college fantasy football. And remember, you can find my guy, Justin Heise, with me at College Fantasy Football on Campus, presented by Fantrax. And that is on anything, iTunes, iHeart, all that good stuff. And on the Twitter machine at Justin Heise. And we will hit a break and come back with some more college fantasy football right after this.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
In this league,
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends? Listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
That's right, it's endless love. And if I could pick someone to be my endless love as far as college fantasy football goes, it is definitely Blaze Sinopoli. You can find him on the Twitter machine at Lord_Blazer with an S. That's Blaser. He has been doing the College Fantasy Football In This League podcast with me for are we on year four now?
Wow. You put it into that perspective, I didn't even realize it was that long. It's three or four years though. I mean, we got over 100 episodes.
I mean, a couple more years,
and
we'll be, what is the common law marriage?
So. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that.
Can't wait for the ceremony.
Get to a little
polygamy
scenario here.
That's right. We'll have blue and white for Penn State and some orange. So it'll be blue, orange, and white. So it'll
great
be
colors.
A gorgeous ceremony. It'll be the best thing ever.
But... Actually, those were my wedding colors.
Oh, look at that. See? We're already done. We'll just use this.
Destiny.
So... It's going to be too great, but Blaze has been with me since the beginning of me talking college fantasy football into a microphone, and we've kind of grown to know each other's standings on players and stuff, and it's been a lot of fun. So you are a Penn State guy through and through. I always make this joke on our podcast about how you know every recruit's high school and blood type and home address and siblings. So
yes, I do.
Just talk about your love for Penn State for a minute.
I can, let's go back. You know, as a kid, I grew up going to Penn State games. I'm only, you know, under 2 hours from Happy Valley, Beaver Stadium, and it was always a family thing. My grandfather had season tickets. My dad grew up going to games when I was a kid. He and my uncles would always take us as a group, so I got to hang out and tailgate as kids. I remember, like, the moment I was hooked, I was standing outside the gates. The players come in on old school school buses that are painted blue, and I remember standing up against the fence. We got there early, and I waited, and the last two players off the defensive bus were Courtney Brown and LeVar Arrington, and I remember standing there as a little kid just marveling at how big they were and how excited I was to see them play. And since then, I've been hooked. It's all about the experience of going to games, and it's been a fun time.
Now, you're a Philly guy, you know, Penn State, Philly. Philly obviously won the Super Bowl. You're very excited about that.
I was there, raging.
raging. Yeah, I remember that. You're there when didn't that guy eat the horse crap? I saw that.
I didn't see him do it, but I wish I did.
I didn't know his address. I can tell you that much.
but, he's definitely from South Philly.
Would you say that, I mean, because you play regular fantasy football still, but you would say that college has eclipsed NFL? Because I asked Justin, and he agreed with that. And John said that college fantasy is his second, but he does love it. He still loves the NFL more. I would say I'm probably still a little bit more on the NFL side than the college side, but I love them both. So would you make it a tie with college over the NFL?
I would give college the advantage here. And I think I'm a Penn State fan first. It's like I said, like it's a childhood thing. It's a community thing. And playing fantasy football, I've enjoyed playing the college game so much. And even, you know, when I was in college myself, I did not play fantasy football for NFL. And I honestly really did not watch the NFL all that much. So I continued watching college during that time frame. So it's just I like the game better. I like the pageantry. I like everything that comes along outside of football as well.
So we hit a little bit of strategy with John already. You know, we talked about quarterbacks. You want the runners in college, unlike in the pros. Running backs are fairly deep. Wide receivers are hard to come by. Is there anything else that you would want to add to that John mentioned, you know, G5 players being better for fantasy most of the time than Power 5 players too? Is there anything else that you think that we should touch on?
Well, I think it's, you know, the different schemes. You know, you have triple options. You have teams like SMU, which is just crazy spread air raid offenses. You know, Chip Kelly's back at UCLA, but when he was at Oregon, it's sideline to sideline running because the hash marks are wider. So because of the disparity of speed on the field and the level of recruits, if you have elite speed, you can beat teams sideline to sideline. Whereas in the NFL, the hash marks are tighter, so you're starting in the middle of the field more. I think it's a very different game, and that's what makes it more fun.
All right. Well, we I talked some players with Justin, but I'm if we have repeats, we have repeats. But I would like to hit some of your favorites at each position. Now, these can be early round guys that you've been taking in drafts or mocks. These can be value guys that you like, or a guy that you think is kind of a sleeper. And you know what? If you want to throw in some bust in there, go ahead. But let's start out with quarterbacks. And who are some of your favorites for 2018?
I had to start with this because I know you're gonna hate it, but Kyler Murray, man, get it in now because he's gonna be awesome this year. You know, he's so talented, and Oklahoma's proven the speed at which they're gonna play. It's just gonna produce more plays per game. I feel like he's a better runner than Baker Mayfield was. So this season he's going to add some rushing touchdowns, but he'll throw a little less, and I think it'll balance out. And he does put up something similar to what Baker put up from a fantasy production last season.
I know. As a first year starter, man, I just to be honest, overall, I just don't know. I know that some people are afraid of, you know, Kyler Murray signed the baseball contract, and the Welsh and I talked about that when that happened in the baseball draft. But I'm not really afraid of him for college fantasy because of that. They're giving him the year. He's going to play out his year. There's no way to protect yourself, you know, and think about your baseball career while you're playing football. You just kind of have to accept it. You know, if you get hurt, you get hurt. That's all there is to it. So
necessarily calling running plays for him. I think he's going to extend plays with his legs. He's going to scramble, but he's not running in between the tackles kind of thing. So I don't worry about it so much.
All right. Give me anyone else you like besides stupid Oklahoma players.
I know a guy you do like is Will Grier, right?
Yeah.
Cannon for an arm. So just because of his arm strength, he's the best deep ball thrower in probably college football as a whole this year. It leads to big plays. He's got awesome receivers. They play in an up-tempo offense. He should be money again this year, you know, and he was last year until he messed up his hand pretty badly.
The Longhorns too. That was a gross finger injury. It was one of those going the other way.
Yeah, that was rough. But we'll cap it off with Jordan Ta'amu from Ole Miss, and high speed offense. And you know they're going to lose a lot from a team perspective, talent wise. But the one thing that does remain is him and the wide receivers, and it's the best wide receiving group in college football. AJ Brown, DeMarcus Lodge, DK Metcalf, and also the tight end Dawson Knox. They're going to be a high scoring offense, and they're probably going to need it this year because the defense is going to take a step back and the offensive line might not be there.
You know, I forgot to do this with Justin, but I'll just throw this curveball at you. Give me the Missouri tight end's name.
Oh my god. I honestly would have to look it up and sound it out there.
I remember because our guy Blake
His name is Albert.
Yes. Our guy Blake has, and unfortunately he couldn't join us in the college fantasy football discussion today, but you can catch him on the In This League College Fantasy Football podcast, and his Twitter handle is at Mr. CFF. He's a huge CFF fan. So he butchers names. I mean, he has gotten some of the easiest names wrong, but I threw this name out at him and he just had it because I was having problems.
He was ready for us.
Yeah. He's like, I'm not going to get beat again. It's Albert Aquabunum.
Aquabunum, right?
Aquabunum. Yeah, it is very complicated, but give me some, now that I threw that curveball and you fouled it off, you know, I mean, that was pretty good. Honestly, I'd have to look it up. You know, you're not lying. I get it.
He's the Missouri tight end. I know who he is, but Albert I haven't memorized it.
That's Justin on campus can't say it. I'm just going to call him Albert O.
It took me like 3 years until I could say Antetokounmpo. You know, he was the Greek freak up until that point.
Yeah, and it's still like I just say GA, you know.
Yep.
That's all I say for him. Running backs, what are you thinking of running back? Who do you like?
Yeah, I really like Patrick Laird. The Cal offense, you know, you look at the second half of last year, he was getting 20, 30 carries a game. They returned their entire offensive line, and I think it just points to riding Patrick Laird even more this season. So I'm a really big fan of him this year. We'll jump to David Montgomery, one of Blake's guys. He's the leader of the team, and he is one of the hardest runners I've ever seen. He just punishes people and fights for extra yards. He's absolutely going to get the ball this year, and teams may load up the box against him. But, you know, I think kind of what Penn State did with Saquon Barkley last year, that you get him involved in the flat, you throw him screen passes. Iowa State threw him the ball a lot last year, and they're basically running plays, even though it counts as a reception. So I think we'll see something similar to that, even if the consistent rushing yards may not be there.
You know, what's funny is you have brought up all Power Five guys so far, and Justin didn't have any, but we move over the wide receivers, and now this is where we get into the group of five more, and I like these guys too.
Absolutely. The running back that I would have put third as well was Jonathan Ward from Central Michigan. So he'll sneak in as a G5. I like him. He does everything. And then two guys at wide receiver that are similar, do everything on the team. Marcus Green from Louisiana Monroe, 55 catches, but he also had 15 rushes for 184 yards and returns kicks and punts and had 4 kickoff returns for touchdowns. And then Greg Dortch, same type of deal. He's going to do everything. He's the go-to receiver. And I will literally go out there and say, and I know you're going to love this one, Deebo Samuel and Greg Dortch.
Yeah.
I would give a bet towards Dortch putting up the better numbers than Deebo Samuel.
Anything you want.
Absolutely.
Let's do it. Let's have a singing bet on college fantasy football. So you are going to sing Texas Fight if Deebo Samuel beats Greg Dortch. How about that?
Unbelievable. Yes, absolutely.
Done. Who are some tight ends that you like outside of Albert Aquabunum from Missouri?
Right. I don't know if you saw this at the Pac-12 media days, but David Shaw, head coach of Stanford, literally called Caden Smith the next Zach Ertz and said he could be better, Ooh. That he's further along in his development than Ertz was. And he was the number 38 overall player in the 2016 class. Dalton Schultz is gone. He kind of split the receptions last year. They do run a lot of two tight end sets, but I think they're going to really try to get Caden Smith involved this year because they have to find something to free up the fact that teams are going to load up the box against Bryce Love.
I love that. And Caleb Wilson from UCLA is another guy that you like. The tight end seems a little bit deeper this year than it has been, but it's not as top heavy as it has been the past couple seasons. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, you still have Aquabunum and Noah Fant. I think they're kind of a tier of their own. Jalen Samuels has always, the last few years, been kind of an H-back, but a lot of times he gets listed as a tight end. And then there is a drop off, but I think one of these two guys could maybe jump up a tier and be in that, you know, in between, like 1B kind of tier.
I'm excited about Jalen Samuels being in Pittsburgh, so he's going to have a lot of opportunities. Hopefully Roethlisberger can find a way to get used to him. But I wanted to ask you this question, and I think it's funny the guy that you put here is, do you ever get kind of biased as far as the guys that, you know, helped you out in college fantasy football, you want to take them in your NFL drafts? And the guy that you mentioned, probably good for the first year, and after that, you've been very upset.
Amari Cooper has been the biggest disappointment for me year in and year out. Yeah, I mean, and even his rookie year, it was a good year, but I even hoped for more from him. And I have drafted him every single season since he's been in the NFL, and it's only gotten worse and worse. And I will not touch him this year. And as we said before, he's gonna blow up this year.
Yeah,
this
Sammy
will be the
Watkins.
Year he gets it together.
Sammy Watkins has been my guy, kind of in the same vein as Amari Cooper and Hunter Henry. You know, Dynasty League, I had Hunter Henry, and I was finally ready. I was like, just go away, Antonio Gates. And he did. Antonio Gates retired. And then, of course, you know, Hunter Henry blows out his knee, and now they're bringing Antonio Gates, or the corpse of Antonio Gates, back. So we only got about 2 minutes left here, Blaze, but why don't you tell me who is going to win the national championship this season and who's going to win the Heisman?
Penn State, obviously.
Penn State. Penn State winning the national title without Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, they are still a better, more balanced team. They got a lot of losses on defense. I throw that out kind of jokingly. I really do think they'll be in contention. That there'll be some tough games.
Of course,
there'll be some. Yeah, there'll be some tough games in the Big Ten. But If I had to pick, I think, Alabama is obviously the odds-on favorite, but maybe if Trevor Lawrence steps in and gives Clemson a little more than Kelly Bryant, Clemson could really challenge and be the team.
You know what's funny about that is I just had the Clemson guy on, and he picked Alabama.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, I'm with you.
They
you
could
know.
Slip, though, you know, lose a game or two with Kelly Bryant and Trevor Lawrence steps in, but it's not enough to make it back.
Right, right. I mean, there's too much going on. Georgia's got another shot. I know they lost a lot, but they got another shot, too. I don't know. I think, you know, at the end of the day, you'd probably have to pick Bama. But if you're picking a Heisman favorite, who would it be?
Yeah, I really do think Trace McSorley could win the Heisman this year, man.
Okay.
He's going to be the centerpiece of the offense. He's going to do everything.
Yeah, and that's, you know, Saquon Barkley's gone. You guys have really good receivers still. The offensive line has to be better, right? Just has to be.
Yeah, and Jonathan, if I'm picking non-homer, I'm saying Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin.
Jonathan Taylor, I like that pick, too. I mean, obviously, it's going to be Colin Johnson. From Texas, but
I already got one share of them so far this year in college.
Well, that's great to hear, but hey man, thanks for coming by and talking some college fantasy football with us. And remember, you guys can find him on the In This League College Fantasy Football podcast. That's on iTunes, iHeart, all that good stuff. Anywhere you want to go to get your podcast, you can find it. And you can find him on the Twitter machine at Lord_Blazer, BLASER. And we will see you guys next week. The Welsh will be back, I promise. And we will be talking all kinds of baseball and football again. So I hope you guys enjoyed this and it gets you into college fantasy football. And we will see you guys next week.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.